Okay, so good morning and welcome to Narcisse Street Congregation. What is it, November 23rd? Okay, wow. 2013, and we're going to continue with the Kingdom of Heaven, and we're going to be looking at more passages, hopefully the rest of them, in the Synoptic Gospels. So let's open with prayer. Lord, we come to you and we are very grateful to be here this morning. And we thank you for giving us life this morning, waking us up. Thank you for your word. And we pray that you would reveal more to it, reveal more of it to us in new ways, ways that will change our lives to follow you more. Guide us now with your Holy Spirit, and we thank you. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So, let's turn to the start this morning to Luke 10:11. Or Luke, actually just Luke chapter 10. Someone like to read, let's say, verse 8 to verse 12. This is when Jesus sends out the 72 disciples, or whatever you want to call them.
Sure. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of heaven is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of heaven is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.
Okay, so for those who haven't been with us previous weeks, we're trying to put into categories what the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is about. When we read the different passages, like what's the theme? What's it seem to be about? Because it's always clear. So for this passage we've just read here, what would you say the kingdom of God is?
Preaching.
Preaching, okay. What else?
Healing.
And
cleaning.
And what?
Cleaning.
Cleaning.
Get your dust off your feet.
All right, get the dust off your feet. It's what?
Judgment.
Judgment, yeah. Kind of all of that stuff.
It's something that demands a decision.
Okay. In this right here, this passage?
Yeah, because there's either you accept or reject. And if you reject, it's a serious thing. And if you accept, then you're in. Like, mm-hmm. Either or, there's no way to middle ground how to respond to that.
But this is an interesting statement. I think when he tells them to go in the streets, it's not a matter of inviting someone to the kingdom of heaven. It's just a statement.
It's just
and yet do we have any other time where disciples are sent out and like it's a verbal, like they're told to make a verbal. Like this
proclamation.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. Yeah. So in a sense, this really has a lot to do with all of these themes up there. So let me just put that down. Somewhere in this area here. Okay, let's go to the next one. Luke chapter 12.
Luke
specifically I want to look at, somebody want to read verses 32 to 34.
I'll read it. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay. What's the kingdom connected to here? The future?
No.
Well, but he doesn't say, he says sell your possessions now. What is that? Sell your possessions, give to the poor.
He's demanding obedience, subservience.
Right, but also he's saying, give your possessions to the poor.
Poor of spirit, like the like what it says in Matthew, or that.
On a service, it seems very practical, like just give it all away.
Right.
That's pretty demanding. We talked like 2 weeks ago about just the demand of being a part or being a disciple and being a part of the kingdom. It's like you're all in.
Right. And like what?
And that's a tough one to.
Caleb just said.
It's a tough one to really.
Right. It seems to be like face. About security, because they should not be afraid of selling out their possessions.
Right. It reminds me of the parable of the pearl, right? He sold everything and bought the pearl. And also the treasure in the field, he sold everything so he could buy the field to get the treasure. It's similar of you've got to sell everything, you've got to give everything. So in one way you could spiritualize it and say like it means complete commitment, but it's very practical when it says give to the poor. So that's not a spiritual, that's just very, I think, very obvious. Also when he says provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moths destroy. That's in Jewish literature in the time of Jesus, that was an allusion to giving to the poor. Treasures in heaven are when you give to the poor people who are in need. So,
is that why it's so important to all these people on the street who ask for tzedakah?
Yes, it's part of Jewish
tradition.
And I
always feel like back home you don't do it because you know they have some problems somewhere else. Instead
right.
of, but make it practical to say, give it all to the poor. I'm here. I should have had my ticket not spending come here, but given the poor.
Right, right. No, it's that's where interpretation comes in. How do you practice scripture or mm-hmm. teaching? There's different ways of coming at it, and you know people can argue and debate. But it does say that this, mm-hmm. and so we have to. Interpret, well, what does that mean? Does that mean all of my possessions? Does that mean, like, Zacchaeus, remember when he met Jesus, and what did Zacchaeus say to Jesus?
He would tithe something, and he would give four times to anybody who cheated him.
Mm-hmm. Right, and also he said he would give to the poor a third of his... what's this term there so we don't...
Four times?
It's the Luke... So, like... 15 or 16, 19, Luke 19. So Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, I'll stay at your house. And they're all like, well, he's a sinner. And then Zacchaeus says, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. So that's his interpretation. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to give half of his possessions. Mm-hmm. And if I have cheated anybody else, I will pay back four times the amount. Mm-hmm. So, anyway,
it's whose interpretation of cheating?
Well, he's a tax collector.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. I mean, you know, everybody that he dealt with felt that he cheated them.
Then he was had a lot of giving to do, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I hate to be too.
Yeah. So anyways, I would put the kingdom here in this category to do with the poor, and I think that's a very here and now statement about the kingdom. So the next one is Luke 14. Verse 15. And someone want to read to 23?
When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant went back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
So kingdom of God here is mentioned in the first verse. What's it kind of seem like it's talking about?
Be ready to come to the banquet table.
Okay, so often when we think of banquet, we think of like the future, like judgment or the end. Those who weren't here a couple weeks ago, I was saying scholars have a problem with the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God because, first off, it's not clear what it always is. And second, they think sometimes it seems like the kingdom of God is talking about now, and sometimes it seems like it's talking about the future. And so there's this great debate over, you know, is it one or the other? And then there's this kind of compromise, well, it's both, or you still have to kind of figure out if it's both, like, it started, but it's not really going to come till later. And then, so there's this whole discussion about that. So blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. You could say, okay, maybe it's future here. But what is the parable about?
I think it's about...
It's about the feast, but what's the overall...
Wedding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, we'll read about the wedding feast next in Matthew.
Attitude.
Yeah. And who's at the feast, at the banquet?
Supposedly his peers, supposedly.
Right, but at the end of the day, it's the poor.
Yes, the poor.
Which we just read in Luke 12, right? Sell your possessions, give to the poor.
So what he's done here, he's doing what God had said, but he did not do it willingly to start with.
Who?
The rich man. Because he did not intend to invite all the poor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when he's let down by his, quote, peers.
Right. Well, and often the way Jesus teaches is he always brings a surprise, a little twist to it that causes people to be shocked a little bit. And so it's if you look in verse 12, before what we just read, Jesus is saying in a practical way, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So again, that's a very practical statement about today. Not just pie in the sky at the end of a final banquet, but on your daily practice. So anyways, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God here is very, it's not standard practice, I think, of the average pious person who's trying to follow God. You normally don't think of associating with people who are on, you know, when you pass a beggar on the street, the reason why they're begging is they do have problems. And they probably aren't, you know, going to take the money and go, you know, fund a college education for their kid. They're probably going to do something, you know, something that you might disagree with it.
Like fly to America.
Well, not count that.
Well, you don't have a personal connection.
Yeah, you don't have a personal connection.
Well, that would make maybe a difference. Because I think it's for me, it's quite a struggle to see what, if I walk beside him, yeah, like yesterday, the policeman said, "Don't you see that he's drunk?" And I thought, well, the poor guy, he's just poor guy, he's crazy, he's doing stupid things.
Right.
But you see, I didn't have a personal relationship with the man, so I didn't give money, but I still feel uneasy with the whole system of the kingdom of God about poor.
Yeah.
Because we are rich, actually, because whatever we have, it's rich compared to poor.
But it's interesting, here he didn't say, like, just give a little handout to them. Said, have a meal with them. So that actually is a relationship. You can't eat with someone and not talk.
Right, yeah. And there's a man here in the church too. Like last week we stayed a little while because we wanted to eat our own sandwiches. And he was still running around. And I felt, he's probably poor. What can we do? It's your conscience? Is it my, is it the Bible that tells you what to do? It's a little uneasy when you know things. You feel responsible too.
Yep.
If you don't know, then
ignorance is bliss.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to put this one under the poor again. And obviously there's something to do with the final judgment in there. Let's go to Matthew 22, which is the wedding feast parable, which is the one that Sheila mentioned. It's kind of a parallel to the one we just read. This one's a little bit different when it comes to... Someone want to read that? It's Matthew 22, those 1 to 14.
Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to go. Then he sent some servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat and cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Now this is one bizarre parable. Because it brings up all kinds of questions, especially with theology, however you want to read this. But this kind of reminds me of the parable of the dragnet. Of he throws in the net into the water, he pulls up good and bad fish, and then they separate.
And a little bit of the wheat and the tares.
And the wheat and the tares. And then the bad, or the wicked, get thrown towards, you know, the darkness, the fire. And so, any other comments?
Also, the metaphor of clothes is often your actions, what you do. You're clothed in something. And so you could say, like, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? That's interesting to think about it like that.
Right. That's in Revelation, right?
But it's also Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Clothed in righteousness.
Yeah. What you put on is your clothes, your deed.
Yeah.
What, well, like official invitation or something that you better write your official or accept it or.
Well, they all have, I mean, go out and bring in anyone you find.
The assumption is that they came to rest.
Why?
Right, but they came to rest.
Yeah. Right, if you've been invited, yeah. Go home, change, and come.
but if it doesn't, the finery, if you're just picking people off the street, you can't expect them to have wedding finery. You know.
But are we to assume that those that are gathered, that they are the ones dressed in wedding clothes? Because they're not single. Like, this one specific guy is singled out. It's, wait, how did you get here? Why are you not in your wedding clothes?
Because he says, go and invite to the banquet anyone you find.
Right.
So if you got a wedding invitation, granted, not everybody has the nicest clothes, but still you could come up with.
Yeah. Was he the one rude and didn't say thank you for the invitation? Maybe everybody else walked in nicely. Thank you. Nice.
Oh boy, you really got.
Anyways, we don't have time to go into this parable because this is a whole other Bible study.
Then next week.
What? It says it says the kingdom of heaven is like. So,
like a wedding.
I would just kind of categorize that with judgment and with it reminds me of, again, like the dragnet, the parable of the dragnet, the parable of the tares.
And you could also in this parable compare to the other versions that aren't Matthew.
Right, and it's all Matthew. So this is Matthew's kind of worldview. Yeah. And how he's portraying Jesus, his teachings. So, let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 11. Jesus has been asked about divorce. How do you, by the Pharisees, can a man divorce his wife? And Jesus replied in verse 11, not everyone can accept this word, because Jesus said, you know, only if in the case of adultery. He says, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. Or others have made themselves eunuchs because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. So, eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. What do you feel about this?
It's hard to hear. It's hard to understand.
Like Paul, what did Paul say?
Paul says it's better not to marry, that if you can't control yourself, you should marry. But
like 99% of us?
And how do we define can't control ourselves?
No, he said, you burn with passion.
Burn, yeah. How do we define that?
Well, if it destroys your witness, if it takes away from your study, if it takes away from, you know, your time.
Yeah.
I would put it, you know, with that whole kind of teaching of, you've got, you're either in the kingdom of heaven or you're not in the kingdom of heaven. of you go all the way, you buy the buy the land, you buy the pearl with everything that you have. And so that includes all aspects of your life, including, I guess, whether you marry or not. So it's
this is it's all in the same frame.